My name is Johannes van der Meulen of Naman, and today we're having Patrick McGowan of IBM Software, based in North Carolina. Thank you, Carolina. Thank you for coming today. You're not recording yet, are you? This is the 11th Naman interview, recorded on the 16th of June 2010. Naman interviews are a series of discussions with personalities in the domain of human-computer interaction who have ideas that deserve a closer look. My name is Johannes van der Meulen of Naman, and today we're having Patrick McGowan of IBM Software, who is based in North Carolina. Thank you for coming today, Patrick. Can you briefly tell us what you do on a daily basis?
Yes, thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be in Brussels at Naman. I work in the Research Triangle Park location of IBM in North Carolina. I'm a member of a user experience design team responsible for designing IBM Lotus software products. And for that team, I'm the art director, visual design lead, as well as a member of our design strategy team. On a daily basis, I run the tasks and products that our visual and graphic designers are responsible for, as well as look for new opportunities for design in our future products.
Right. And if you say visual design, does that include interaction design in the IBM terminology, or is...
Yes, good question. Absolutely. The better said is visual communication, and the crossover between the visual cues and the layout that we provide to help someone interact successfully with the product. In terms of our team structure, there are some people specifically responsible for interaction design and others specifically responsible for usability, doing usability studies, etc. In my role on the strategy team, I impact what we do in those spaces as well, but in terms of direct responsibility, people on the visual design team. But we don't draw the line between the disciplines.
Right.
It's just our primary function is the visual side of the interaction design.
As you speak about design towards your internal customers, do you present design to them as a process or as an end product?
Definitely as a process, but we've reached that point through learning and trial and error. I think the natural approach, especially for me when I started to work, was to approach the design more as here's a final design solution and hoping that stakeholders would buy into the design. But ultimately, that never worked out as I had envisioned. Now we follow the idea that design is an inclusive process that includes all of the stakeholders in the project, whether it's the product managers, the business executives, the software developers, or the architects. And I tend to refer to this as design as facilitator, as if we're facilitating the process of getting a well-designed product out the door, but it's a shared ownership between the entire team.
But then aren't others equally entitled to call themselves facilitator or equally apt at being facilitator? Why are designers particularly suited for this task of facilitation?
I think one of the keys is the ability to, what I refer to as boundary spanning, the ability to connect the dots between the different disciplines and piece together that what the business side may be talking about is actually in line with what the software development group is talking about, but maybe they sound like they're at odds. And I've noticed the design team is very good at bridging that gap. The other point I'd make is that I think other people could facilitate that process, but at the end of the day, the designer inherently took on the role or responsibility of becoming a designer because their passion is making the well-designed product. So they welcome the task of being the facilitator where others may not.
Ah, so it's an attitude that they've brought in from school, and it's this cohesive, holistic thinking that designers bring to the task. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other point is in the schooling or the education, in design education, an inherent part of that is the critiques and the review process that I think are not as apparent in other education disciplines. And I think it sets people up well to run this process and be open to ideas, even different ideas, and being able to manage them correctly.
The designer's suit, you know, the black t-shirt and the jeans, does that, in your view, doesn't it represent a barrier to promote a design-friendly environment in a company? Or do you think it's necessary to be distinct as a designer from the rest of the company to sort of show your added value, how you are different?
I do feel the design suit, as you called it, can create a barrier to a design-friendly environment existing. I think it's one of the things, the way I always put it to designers is step number one is accepting and realizing that non-designers may have the best design ideas you've ever heard, and how you're dressed isn't what makes that design idea good or not. The role of designer is picking up on the idea and taking it forward. I think depending on the industry you're in, maybe a technology-rich industry, the presence of the designer, the appearance may or may not have negative impact. A quote I'll share with you is an engineer I worked with once said to me, as you have engineer anywhere near your title, which in our case, our designers are hired as software engineers, I don't care, I just need to know that you know how to build something. Mm. And so in that case, there is no barrier. So absolutely, maybe it's an individual-to-individual basis. But I do think if designers aren't careful about coming across as too elitist from a design point of view, that's probably what creates the barrier more than anything else.
Right. And does Agile bring, you know, breath of fresh air into this discussion? I mean, does that change the position of the designer? I mean, how do you practice human-centered design in an Agile environment? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think the degree to which Agile allows more rapid iteration and, in theory, more of a collaborative team environment where you are all responding to the customer needs, it's a forum for design to have more impact and also to be more of an equal player on a team project. My other thoughts on Agile are the degree to which processes are really Agile versus being positioned as Agile.
Can you expand on that?
Yes. In the software industry specifically, I think the most successful Agile projects are ones where the delivery is always external. So software as a service, where the software is always live, it's deployed, and it can be updated anytime, because then the Agile process is actually geared towards delivery to market on a very frequent basis rather than quick internal delivery milestones. It's a subtle difference, but I think it's important.
Right, where Agile states that in principle, after each sprint, software should be delivered that can be put into production. You were saying it should actually be put into production as a service, should be updated on a continuous basis, well, after every sprint. The user experience, usability, the quality of the interface is one of many requirements, one of many quality criteria by which a product is being judged. How do you balance those non-functional usability criteria against the hardcore functional criteria? I mean, how do you manage to deal with that?
I think it's a function of the need of the product and the markets it is serving, as well as the customers. A good example for you would be a product that we work on, such as online meetings. I think the user interface is very important because the primary use case is someone coming to the meeting, they're being invited, they've never used it, they need to share and present and be successful. User interface is extremely important. On the other end of products that we work on, our enterprise portal offering. Sometimes I wonder, could we have done that product without a user interface? because what are people buying in that case? Are they buying the framework to deploy a portal, or are they buying the user interface? I think most enterprise customers would say they're buying both, but in the end, I feel that they're primarily buying the technology to deploy a solution they need to. In that case, I'd say performance is very important. Scalability is important, and those types of requirements likely should, I hate to say outweigh, because I am a designer, but maybe should outweigh design. The other dynamic I'd explore is what point in the release schedule is the product. If it's a new product, you maybe should pay attention to the user interface. If you're really just trying to improve the performance or quality, maybe the design team should actively disengage for that release so that work can get done.
Right. So it depends on the market, on the release schedule, etc. Yes. Mm-hmm. And in this context, do you work with external companies in order to supplement this capabilities of your team? Because there is, from a perspective of an external company such as Naman, of course, there is the danger of, well, the danger from our perspective of commoditization of the type of work that we do. And I guess you, as an internal agency within IBM, that danger of commoditization of the kind of work we do exists as well, or does it? Do you think it exists?
Yeah, so two topics there. The commoditization topic, I think, as with any profession, if we're not aware that the possibility of commoditization exists, this profession may become commoditized. Accounting is a good example of that happening. Accountants probably did not think their profession would become a commodity, but some portions of it did. I think maybe the lower level design, the more graphic part, or the just following guidelines will become commoditized, but isn't the value that I think maybe Naman brings to the table when you engage on products, or what you're hoping to bring to the product. The first part of your question had been use of external agencies. There have been times where we've supplemented some of our work with external agencies. There's an interesting dynamic there that probably needs further exploration about the pros and cons of the external influence as a positive impact on a project, because it is an external expert coming to the table.
The expert being external and having, you know, being more credible possibly, or being more independent, more of an honest broker in difficult issues, or?
I'd say both. Maybe just that also it's a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ideas, and a new voice. I know projects that I've been on before, sometimes I reach a point where I think I've been on it too long, and that likely happens on many projects. And having a new personality in the mix that maybe knows nothing about the technology or the history, why something is the way it is, may have insight that other people will miss if they've been on that project the entire time. Or by being internal, they have access to that history, where perhaps coming in externally, you don't get all the history, you just get the task at hand, and you're able to respond more efficiently, perhaps.
Well, I guess that the external agency can also bring in techniques, methods that are slightly or radically new. And talking about techniques, there's a whole discussion going on right now about the level of fidelity that is required in order to present your artifacts or your designs to the customer, to the client, or to any stakeholder. What position do you take there? It's the position, either it's wireframes, you show it very quickly to customers, wireframes which don't work, or you do the pixel perfect, fully visual designed, interactive, high fidelity prototypes. I mean, where do you stand? Or are you going to give another answer? It depends.
To a large degree, it depends. But so I'll give an answer in terms of the perfect project life cycle. To me, would be starting a project from the beginning. I would argue that you should hold off for a long time showing pixel perfect design and focus first on accurate definition of the problem. Second,
how do you then visualize? Sorry to interrupt. How do you visualize that that definition of the problem? I mean, is it a Word document, or a notes, post, whatever, or is it a visualization? How do you do that?
Our team utilized what we call a project description diagram. It's based on the information architecture tool that some designers use for websites called page description diagrams. It's basically a simple three-column layout. You could do it in any tool where you prioritize the requirements or the goals for the project. My choice has been, when I make those, to do them in whatever tool the rest of the team is comfortable using, so that they can participate in building the shared vision.
It's a formalism that counts, not the tool. But so if I Google page description diagrams, I will find what you are referring to.
They should come up.
Okay. Maybe the audience will do that too.
It's worth looking into, because it's a very simple way to just organize projects. And at least the samples I came across that we then adopted are less visual. They're nicely laid out, but because they're not overly designed, I think it's another way to engage multiple people in the process and really create a shared foundation for the project.
Right. And then as you move on?
Then as we move on, and again, this would be the perfect project, then we'd go to similar description diagrams for the items that make up the project. So simplest example would be a website. We take the pages that make up the site and do the same prioritization exercise for those pages, get agreement on those, then move forward to the wireframing process. On wireframes, I do sometimes, depending on the climate, introduce a version where it's purely hand-drawn just to communicate to others that it's a first attempt and it's not final. Sometimes we've done highly stylized, perfectly straight lines for our wireframes. And the interesting thing is people always perceive it as a finished product. And when did I get my chance to give input? But if it looks a little bit rougher or incomplete, they feel that you are engaging them in the product. Hmm. And then we move forward to high resolution, pixel perfect color designs. And then more and more actually into fully functioning prototypes, where we can actually explore, is the interaction working? Because you lose a lot in the static approach. The design may be perfect on paper, but when you go to use it, you may change your opinions.
One last question. I don't know whether you can answer that. When is the next version of Lotus Notes going to come to the market?
I don't think I can safely answer that. One thing I could say, because we do have like a vision we introduced at our Lotusphere conference in January that people can look up and find some information about what was announced then, but it's really the future direction for the portfolio, not just about Lotus Notes.
Right, and I can find this on the Lotusphere 2010 conference site. And Google will help us there.
Google IBM Project Vulcan as in Star Trek.
Right.
And you'll come across information about IBM's ideas and direction for the product portfolio.
Okay, great. I think that's a nice way to close this interview. Thank you very much, Patrick, for answering all my questions.
You're welcome.